You know, I was thinking about this project we're doing in CLL, looking at the issue of 17p deletion and how a lot of patients acquire that with time. Made me think a little bit about what you are talking about here with myeloma. You talked about kind of what the pressures are that change on this. From a clinical point of view, do you think that we're going to move into a situation where maybe, for example, at first relapse, we're going to be looking as closely at the tumor, even genomically, as we do up front, and that as you move down the line, you'll continue to be taking new looks at the tumor?
Neil, you're spot on, as always. That's exactly right. In fact, I would argue it's more relevant to know where you are down the line than it is initially if you're kind of thinking about things across the spectrum, because at the end of the day, where your patient is right now may be radically different from where they were 3 years ago at diagnosis. So this concept of assessing patients with cytogenetics and FISH at each restaging point is very, very valid and a very important one, and I'm glad you raise it.
Do you do that clinically?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So in other words, we assess patients at diagnosis, then at first relapse, second relapse, and beyond. And cytogenetics can seriously influence therapeutic choices now because we know, for example, in the proteasome inhibitor space that a PI is essential if you're dealing with 17p deletion. We know that that really matters. And some of the most exciting data we'll come to in a moment, which is around the use of exazomib in this setting because it gives you the ability to longitudinally control those clones. But I think it's one example, Neil. Obviously, the monoclonal antibodies are another one, and cofilzomib and so on. And we'll come to all of that in a moment. But I think it brings us beautifully to the construct that multimodality targeting of myeloma in the context of the bone marrow microenvironment is essential. You can see, obviously, we need to target the cortical bone. We have the excitement not only with the well-established bisphosphonates in the aminobisphosphonate compartments, such as zoledronic acid and pamandronic acid, but now, of course, we have the really provocative data of denosumab in this setting, showing even clinical benefit in a randomized phase 3 trial in favor of denosumab over the standard, which is zoledronic acid. Certainly in practice terms, the use of denosumab in renal disease seems to be very important. And my colleague Anupa Raja has led that work. And really, it's fascinating to see how denosumab, I think, will impact on practice going forward, recognizing, of course, that zoledronic acid is the gold standard with pemidronate as an important other option as well.